This is Running Life and Stuff, the podcast, proving that life is for squeezing. Here's your host, Craig Allen.
Hello, well, I'm Craig. Hi, Anna. Please, can we just get back to running? This podcast is Running Life and Stuff. I think we've talked a bit about life and a bit about other stuff. Can we just focus on running?
Dating?
No.
Talking about dating, though, because we got sort of the opinions of our listeners, which was lush. Then we spoke to Rachel, who's a dating expert, equally lush. So I'd like to explore dating more, like I enjoyed it, and it is stuff.
It is stuff, and we can explore dating, but I do think at the moment I just need to just take on board the last two episodes on dating, and I think we just need to get back to running. I'm talking about an amazing event I've just done in Spain, which was fantastic. I've had a lot to think about while I've been running over a mountain, and I always met...
I make big decisions when I'm running.
I made a few big decisions running over a mountain, but we'll save that for a later episode. I'm more intrigued to find out how your 25 minutes run, walk, jog went before we talk about the CXM Sierra Blanca that I've just done. So how's your training?
Come along. Well, talking about my sort of 25 minutes, which actually it was okay. So last time I think I went out for a run along the embankment in Nottingham near Trent Bridge. And then more recently with this 25 minutes, and I am sort of trying to sort of meet your challenges. I'm trying to embrace it, even though you know I pretty much hate running. So yeah, I went and ran rounds some of the way around a lake. It was okay. I would say though, I don't know how you feel, like running outdoors is definitely different to running on a treadmill. Sometimes I feel really good when I'm running outdoors, like there's lots of distractions which I feel help me to keep going. But then in a gym, it's just that comfort of being in a gym, ticking off the distance you need to do. I'm guessing you prefer running outdoors.
I do prefer running outdoors. However, there is a lot of benefits to training on a treadmill indoors. So if you want to do a specific session, you can just focus on the treadmill and just get the session done. And also, so for example, if I want to do a proper session and the weather's not great or it's really cold or it's icy, treadmills have the great benefit to them. Absolutely. I know when I'm training in the gym, doing my strength conditioning training, yeah, I'm glad it's finished. I really am. But treadmill running, there is a lot of advantages to it. There is.
Do you feel when you're on a treadmill next to somebody, often you don't know what their background is? You don't know if they've just been doing a hard weight session or they're just doing a warm-up or what part of their training they're at. But do you feel like you have to try and beat them? Do you feel like, I'm going to run for longer than you, I'm going to run faster than you? Do you ever feel like that?
No, I don't, but I always try and find a treadmill on its own. So I always go and find a treadmill.
Why does that make me feel sad?
I don't know. I just try and find a treadmill. But if I've got to go, if I have to train on a treadmill and there's people around me, I'll always ask them if they've got their earbuds in or headphones. But if they haven't, I'll always ask them if it's all right if I join them.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's just breaking the ice. It's saying hello, isn't it?
You ask if you can join them on the treadmill next to them?
Well, it's just fine.
You're not going on a date.
No, but it's just...
You're running at the gym.
You've mentioned dating
again.
Do you leave
the candles out? Why do you ask them?
You get on the treadmill and you might say, you know, you're all right if I just run on here?
I mean, like, yeah, it's a gym. You pay the same amount as I do, probably. Unless you're on off-peak.
Maybe I just go into work mode. I probably do.
Do you know what? It does fill me with joy that you do these little things.
I do. It's polite.
What's the response?
Yeah.
Like, I have my headphones on sometimes, so I let you into secret.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not even listening to anything. I just don't want to be disturbed.
You just want to talk to people. I had an incident a couple of weeks ago, which was funny. I was on the treadmill. I was in the gym. I was doing a session. I had my earpods in. I was running along. But my friend rang me. But I'm really long and I'm having a chat to my friend, but the person on the treadmill next to me thought I was talking to them. So I was asking them a question and they were answering it. So I was having like a three-way conversation.
Wow.
Because they didn't realise I was on the phone.
Oh, they didn't?
No.
Because you were like a businessman on a tube.
Yeah. He's like, can you talk to me? I was like, no, I can't. I'm on a treadmill.
But then you continued to talk to him?
Well, he just carried on. He didn't quite listen.
Okay.
Yeah, probably because I couldn't answer because I was out of breath. But anyway.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If you popped up next to me on the treadmill and were like, do you mind if I run here? I'd be like, dude, that's cool. But just like when I go into the hairdressers, please don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm not. I think I'm a sociable antisocial. I only like socialising on my own terms.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm like that sometimes. But
that's
it's just
that's a lovely way to be.
Yeah, it's just polite, isn't it? It's like when you're in a coffee shop, isn't it? And there's no
I don't know what you're going to say. What are you going to say?
Well, when you're in a coffee shop and there's no table spare, but you see somebody sat on their own with two chairs in front of them, you go and ask them if you can join them, don't you?
No.
Oh.
I'd never do that. In fact, I went into Costa a couple of days ago, and there was a guy who had the really comfy seats, and he had four really comfy seats, and he was solo with his coffee and a paper. And then me and my little girl had to go and squeeze onto a really small table. I mean, we could have gone and joined him, but I just think, like, that's rude, isn't it? It's encroaching on their space.
Yeah, I suppose. But it's polite to ask. Oh, it's sociable, isn't it? Because you don't know if they're having a bad day. They might want company.
Yeah, but if they're having a bad day, they probably don't.
Yeah, they probably don't want my company, that's for sure. Yeah, it's great.
No, I think it's nice to be more sort of open and forward and, I don't know, a bit more American.
It does.
Americans are a bit more like that, aren't they? A bit more forthcoming.
They are, but it doesn't stop any of us. You know, we talk, you know, a lot about our mental state. It doesn't stop any of us just asking, you having a good day? How are you?
But do you know, if you're not having a good day and somebody asks you if you're having a good day, does that not make you feel worse?
Well, because they might say no. And then you say, well,
what do you say then?
Oh, can I help you? That just means...
Yeah, I've just had my card decline at the petrol station. Can you pay for my petrol? What are you going to say to that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I can give you a lift home.
My goldfish has just died. What are you going to say to that?
Yeah, good point.
I feel sad now.
Good point. Good point.
Fact that you are a little sunshine on a stick.
Thank you.
And I am occasionally like that, but definitely not 24/7. But you appear to be sunshine all the time.
Yeah, but most people say I'm grumpy, to be honest.
I've never seen that.
No, most people do say I'm grumpy. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe is that perhaps when you've not been for a run or you're training?
My mantra is all good, no worries, just crack on. That's my mantra.
Well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
So talk to me about your running that you've been doing there.
So, yeah, so, you know, I talk about the races and how I got on in the race, but I just want to talk about an event I've just done in Spain, which was absolutely amazing. The CXM Sierra Blanca, what a race. There's different options to go, but I made a few notes here just to kind of the benefit of everybody, because we always talk about, you know, how I've got on and me feeling emotional, etc. But this is a race, I think, if you're into running and want to explore in Europe, in Spain, you should all look up.
Can I just ask, sorry to interrupt you, is this the race where you were sending me and Pete videos and pictures? And I was like, are you really on the beach? Is that where you were?
Well, that was pre-race, yeah. I sent you some pictures. That was pre-race.
It looked amazing.
Yeah, that was pre-race, so... We headed out to the race was in Marbella, so it started there. But there's something about the event which was fantastic. The lead up to it, the communication was absolutely awesome. As runners, we always want to know more information. They could not give us enough information. So I opted for the Mountain Destroyer option.
Why?
Which was amazing, and I'll get to that in a moment. But right from the get-go, so from entering the race organisers sent us an email with a hotel they recommended. It was literally 5 minutes from the start, 10 minutes from the finish. Perfect. The hotel welcomed us, couldn't do enough for us. I was like, this is great. And then the next thing, I'm in the race, they explained to me, they sent me that we'll have a separate nut and gluten-free station at the race. I'm like, really?
You've mentioned that before, where sometimes you have to be so careful because you've got a nut allergy.
So I was like, could this be right? And then, you know, you can fly. So I was thinking, this is awesome. And literally, you know, so we started the race. I've never ran a race where the course markings, I've never seen so many course markings. It was almost impossible to get lost. And I'm great at getting lost. And the first checkpoint I arrived, there is a table with nut-free, gluten-free food with somebody manning it for the nut-free and gluten-free. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, well, this has just got to be one checkpoint all the way through all the checkpoints.
Wow, that's pretty nice progression.
I was like, this is great. And they even looked out for me. Is that enough selection for you? Is that okay? Is that the right food? I was like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, at the moment, you know, I was like, this. It was like almost like going to a restaurant specifically for nut-free and gluten-free food. I was absolutely taken aback.
So you're buzzing.
I was buzzing. And I just want to put a big shout out to them, because after the race, how many race organisers send a voice note for taking part and thanking you for being part of the event? And any information, please do let them know. Unbelievable. And so anybody out there that's looking for a race in Spain, February time, different technical trails, distances, a flight into Malaga, you can literally transfer into Marbella, absolutely brilliant. A hotel, look it up, absolutely awesome. The course, we'll get onto the course. Now, I've run different mountain events before, and yes.
So you did Mountain Destroyer?
I did the mountain.
Can you tell me the titles of the other, like trails? Because I just think the titles are pretty cool.
I can't remember what they were on it, but there was like, I think one of them was called Break a Leg or something like that. I'm sure it was. I'll have to look it up. But they got some random, but this was like, break, you know, get to your limits, Mountain Destroyer. And it was just, it was amazing. I have never climbed up mountains like that. I've never climbed up hillsides like that. I've never experienced any trails like that. I've ran like a trail race in the woods and stuff, but literally from the get-go, it had everything. It had technical steep descents. It had really steep climbs. It had chains where you had to pull yourself up over rocks. It had scrambling over rocks. It had woodland run. It had riverbeds where you were jumping over boulders. It had sand where you had to run through. It had trees where you had to climb over. It was absolutely amazing. And the scenery, wow.
I mean, I can vouch for the scenery because you sent us some pictures and stuff. But what you're explaining to me now sounds like nature's version of the Gladiators Eliminator.
It was absolutely amazing. And I put a clip out on my social media asking. The only thing, this was for me, was I had an issue with my shoes because...
You always have an issue with your shoes.
And I did the grip on my shoes, because my nodules and the shoes weren't soft, they were hard, they were just slipping.
Yeah.
And
like wearing football boots.
Yeah, and a few of the runners nicknamed me Bambi, because I just couldn't... I mean, I have a habit of falling over, and I have a habit every time I race. It rained. So Friday, the day before the race, it absolutely rained for 24 hours. And the Saturday morning, it rained. So it was absolutely treacherous. Oh. And I was like, I just knew I was in trouble, because I knew the trainers I had, they're absolutely awesome, but I just knew they weren't going to grip me going down the descents. And they lived up to the name. They just did not grip.
So this is like, I suppose, like in F1, you change your tyres for the weather conditions, but you didn't bring enough tyres with you.
No, I didn't bring enough tyres. So any listener, anybody out there that can recommend a trail shoe that's a 10 to 12 mil drop with super soft, grippy tread and a good fit, not a narrow fit, a nice standard fit, please send it into the email in the notes in the podcast, because I need to hear from as many people that recommend as many different trainers, because I need to get some different trainers. I swear by my Mizuno trainers, but they're not great on wet, rocky trail. I've heard they've used a different sole now, a different tread. I'll swear by my Brooks, but yeah, I need to. And I'm going back there next February to do that race.
Oh, you do feel, or it does sound like you're totally enamoured by this race.
I can't stop talking about it. Yes, I had the best time ever. There was, you know, there's 139 finishers. You know, I did 8.5 hours for 26.2 miles. The winner did it in 5 hours, I think, or just under. But
Gordon Bennett.
It was amazing, honestly. And so for anybody out there that's looking for a great February race, look up the CXM.
But like you said, it sounds technical.
Oh, it was technical. But I say, I can't remember the other distances and other, but the trail was, it was just awesome.
But there were other sort of variations.
Other variations.
You could do. What's our email address if people want to email in?
It's craig@runninglifestuff.com. Email in with your suggestions.
Or you could actually, if people find you on socials, they could
look
drop
me up,
a DM or something.
Yeah, drop me a DM on Craig Runs Wild on Instagram, Facebook or TikTok. So
TikTok,
all social channels are available on this podcast. And if any suppliers out there would like to me to try out the trainers running down a mountain, then please send them in.
That's not a bad shout if anyone wants to send you anything.
Yeah, because honestly, it was brilliant. The whole thing was great, and I will talk about that event forevermore, and I would love to go back next year if I can fit it into my training plan.
Do you know what's really nice, actually, is getting that sense that you were so into it, you really enjoyed it. It was technical, there were so many different terrains and stuff and different gradients, which sounds amazing, because that's different to the other races that we've ever talked about before.
Yeah, it was just, you know, a lot of the races, you go, this was just not an A race. This was just, I'm going to go out there to Spain.
Pure enjoyment.
Pure enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just a case for me of, let's just finish it. Let's see what happens. Because, you know, I've raced quite a lot in Spain, as we know, and I know their trails and their technical running is different to over here. And I kind of had an idea what to expect. But, yeah, when I saw the first chain climb over, I was like, right, okay, I've let myself in here. And it was amazing.
That sounds wild. Like, that sounds to me like a lot of fun.
There's only a couple of times when I was like, great.
You're quite clumsy, though. Did you go over?
Yeah, I did. Had a few slips and trips, as you do. But that's the point when I decided, engage my brain. This is great fun, throwing yourself down this side here. But you know what? It's time to engage your brain, because, you know, every fall you do, it hurts a bit, and then it hurts a bit more and a bit more. So,
how did your knees and joints feel afterwards?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was broken. You know, because my quads and your body just takes such a, because you're just descending over big balls.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think sometimes, from my point of view, obviously not massively into running and don't have loads of running experience, that actually I sort of see when you run downhill that's quite a relief, but actually the impact on your joints is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is massive.
Because you've got to stabilise everything.
Yeah, and I found, I mean, the next day, normally after a road marathon or a marathon of that distance, I can run or I can walk. My quads were on fire. I was literally...
Because there were those different elements.
Yeah, just massive different... Everything was swollen, you know, my ankles, everything. And even now I'm still feeling it. I did a recce. In fact, I'll tell you all a little story about a recce I did on Sunday. I did a recce for a race, the Haworth Hobble, which, please, again, any recommendations for shoes to wear, please let me know. I did the second half of the race on Sunday. We recorded it, and it was 13 miles. We had a great day out on the Sunday. It was fantastic. And even then, it was slow and steady. We're out for just under 3 hours, but a week later, my body was still feeling it. My quads were still feeling it. But this will make you smile, and this will make everybody smile. I didn't realise until my friend told me at the end, he says, why were you calling the guy that was wrecking it the wrong name? I said, I thought that was his name.
What were you calling him?
His name's Gary, and I was calling him Graham.
Gary's such a good name, because we've discussed this before. It's a name that's actually, it's going out of fashion. Like, I don't think anyone last year in Great Britain was registered as a Gary. And makes me feel sad.
And, you know, I said this before, my close friend is called Gary, and what a great friend he is. And
shout out
to our guys. So I do need recommendations for the first half of the course. I've kind of got an idea, but the shoes I was wearing for the second half weren't still quite right. I went out in my last Sportivas on the Sunday.
I don't know what that means.
But they were quite too aggressive trail for what I was experiencing.
Too aggressive.
Yeah. Mm. So anybody that's listening to the podcast, please email in your suggestions for the...
Shoe recommendations.
Yeah. And I have a feeling I need to do a podcast episode on...
Footwear. I can recommend Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones.
Air Max 90s.
Okay, well, I'll take them into consideration then.
You're welcome.
That's fine. So episode 8 is coming up. We've got Lois from Loughborough Performance Centre joining us to talk about all things testing. Lois is a sports physiologist, and she's going to give us a wealth of information of how testing can benefit you and benefit us all, and how we can put data into training and science into training.
Yeah, it's beautiful, actually, because it's a world where sport and science collides. You sort of talk about data in actually a really data-friendly way. I had to take my GCSE maths twice. I think it's going to be pitched at a level that most of us, or at least of my intelligence, which isn't particularly high, will understand. And it's so I know we say this all the time, a bit boring, but it's really, really interesting.
It's going to be great. I know, Akita, we said this in the last episode, you're on this journey.
Now, you think I'm on a journey. I've said before that I'm on a journey to lose 3 stone. I think what's getting in the way at the moment is there's quite a lot of Easter egg chocolate in the shops. And chocolate shaped as eggs is way more delicious than just normally shaped chocolate. And I feel like that's getting in my way of losing 3 stone right now.
I've got the perfect idea. Why don't I set you an Easter egg 10K challenge? So every kilometre, you get a mini egg. And then when you come back... When you come back with 10 mini eggs, that's great, isn't it?
If you were, say, leaving £1,000 at each checkpoint, I think I'd be up for it.
Right, okay. So if I get some chocolate money...
That's not the same.
Is it not? So what's your challenge? What's your challenge going to be for the next week?
Nothing.
Nothing? You're having a week off training?
No, I'm doing a lot of swimming at the moment.
Okay.
And biking and a lot of walking. My youngest is 5 and she's nailed like cycling on 2 wheels and she's rapid. So we're going out for a lot of like walks while she's like buzzing round on her bike, which is quite cool.
Cool.
And then I want to fit in some weight sessions as well. Running doesn't seem to be a part of that agenda this week.
So how about a CrossFit class?
I've done CrossFit before, and I can tell you that I'm in no fit state.
Okay.
I can't lift my body weight. I can barely get out of a chair sometimes.
Let's just stick to swimming and walking this week then.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Is that a cop-out?
No, just stick to swimming and walking, yeah. Because we know you've got you booked in the testing lab soon, so.
Well, I'm not booked in. You're booked in, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm booked in. I'm booked in. I'm always booked in.
So just tell me, how far have you run this week?
This week I've done just under 30 miles this week, recovery week. So
wow.
A nice, easy, steady week. And I've been
That's over a marathon you've done in a week, in a recovery week.
Yeah, only light training.
Yeah, but distance is distance.
Yeah, distance is distance.
What do you consider light training then?
Oh, just a bit of running, a bit of walk, you know, run, walk, jog. So I've,
Cool.
Yeah, I've been mixing it up. I've just done an hour in the gym as well, just mixing it up.
What are you doing in the gym?
Just did some general stretching and some weights.
Did you do any yoga?
Yeah, I've done, I did some yoga before I went out to Spain. Yeah, I need to get back in the yoga. So this week I've also been cryo, so I've been frozen. To -200 again.
Walt Disney.
Yeah, get the body recovering. Had a physio session, sports massage. So, yeah, I've been looking after my body, listening to it, getting myself ready because we've got the Haworth Hobble coming up in just over 3 weeks.
You've got that coming up. You've got another race back end of summer, I believe, which is slightly warmer temperatures. So are you going to do any hot yoga?
I've not thought about that one, maybe.
Because if you go in like the running warm chamber, whatever, however you get acclimatised, maybe you could just go in and do some hot yoga.
Yeah, maybe I could. That sounds quite nice, actually, doesn't it? Maybe I could just go to Spain and do yoga on the beach in the sunshine. That would be great.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Look out for episode 8 with Lois from Loughborough Performance Lab to talk about all things testing.
Can you believe, like, we've got somebody from Loughborough Uni? Like, that's the capital of sport.
It's amazing, and we are really privileged.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
We're very lucky to have Lois on the podcast.
Yes.
So thank you for listening this week. Happy training. On to the next adventure.
That was Running Life and Stuff. Right now, Craig's into the next adventure, and he'll be back here for the next episode in 2 weeks. If you enjoyed the conversation, please use your app to follow or subscribe to this show so you don't miss the next one.